4:9. The very end of the previous Mishnah had said that the challah which is separated in chutz la'aretz and given to a kohen can be given l'chol kohen, to any kohen. And the Bartnura's pshat there is even a kohen who doesn't necessarily eat his chulin b'tahara, he doesn't necessarily keep things b'tahara properly, you could give it to him. Now the truth is a little complicated. The Rambam understands the l'chol kohen means any kohen, meaning even a kohen who's an am ha'aretz, it doesn't matter. The Bartanura sort of vigorously rejects that, and he says that's impossible because the Gemara actually explicitly says that you shouldn't be giving such gifts to Kohanim who are Amei Aretz, who are unlearned, and don't keep Tumah Torah properly, but just across the board just aren't unlearned. And he would, so therefore, strongly disagree. So our mission is going to pick up, and it's going to talk about the other gifts. We'll actually list 10 different gifts that are given to Kohanim, that the Mishnah will say you could give to a Kohen, any Kohen, L'chol Kohen. And whatever the Pshat is in L'chol Kohen, any Kohen, is in the previous Mishnah, it will apply to this Mishnah as well. Now, again, so the Rambam understands it means even Am Ha'aretz. Bartanura is going to understand it means specifically a Kohen who doesn't necessarily eat his Chulin B'Tahara. And there'll be a Machlokas separately if we would allow an Am Ha'aretz or not. In any case, whatever the Shita is, whether it's Dafka, someone who knows how to keep Tahara, just doesn't eat their Chulin B'Tahara, or means even an Amaret who doesn't know how to, isn't accustomed to, or doesn't even know how to keep Tumah Tahara properly, then it'll be the same. In our Mishnah, these things can be given, whatever it is, whoever L'chol Kohen is, these can be given to that Kohen as well. And here is the list. And the reason why is because all these things essentially are basically Chulin for the most part, and don't need to be kept Tahor. So we say, Ve'elu, and the following, there'll be 10 items. Nitana l'chol kohen, you give them to any kohen, defined as I said before. The verse is hacharamim. Cherem is a word that you can use to declare something forbidden to yourself and given either to the Beis HaMikdash, that's cherem gavoa, or cherem for a kohen. Cherem for the Beis HaMikdash, cherem gavoa is simply committing something to Bet HaKabayis, that you're going to give something to make it hektish and give it to the temple for its own financial use. But if you do it for a kohen, a cherem for a kohen, that means you're now not allowed to benefit from this particular item, your pen that you made a cherem for a kohen. But as soon as you give it to a kohen, the kohen now can have the pen, it's his to use however he sees fit. There's no restrictions, it's chulin, and therefore you can give your cherem pen, or for that matter, your cherem apple, to a kohen, no problem. Even if the kohen is an Am Ha'aretz, according to the Apshat, or at least someone who doesn't eat his chulin b'tahara, according to the Bartanura. Second of all, v'abuchoros, same goes for b'choros. Now, b'chor is the firstborn male animal that comes from a cow, goat, or sheep. So the rule is that the b'chor has to be brought as a korban. It's offered the mizbech, but the meat is given to the kohanim to eat. And we're saying here, first of all, that a kohanim could receive that meat if the kohen is not someone who keeps his chulin b'tahara. That's true because, as we'll see later in the Mishnah, any korbanos can be given to such kohanim. But here, even a bechor, the firstborn animal, which was a bal mum, that is to say, it was invalidated from being offered on the mizbeach, on the temple altar, because it had some sort of blemish on it. So the rule there is, if the blemish is a permanent blemish, a mum kavua, so then the animal is given to a kohen to eat, and the kohen can do as he sees fit. He can make a barbecue and eat it as chulin, this bechor, no, not as a korban, not as an offering. And that being the case, since there's no restrictions because it's chulin, you can give it to any kohen. Again, any kohen defined as we said before. The third item on the list is pidyon haben. There's a mitzvah asay to redeem every firstborn male, human, Jewish boy we're talking about here. Assuming he was the peter rechem, he was the first to issue from his mother. And you're not talking about mothers who were kohanim or levim, etc. But or the house of fathers. So that being the case, the mitzvah is to give 5 shekel, silver shekels, to a kohen to redeem this firstborn boy, and that 5 shekels can be given to any kohen. The fourth is upidyon peter chamor, the redemption of the firstborn donkey. The rule is, if a person has a donkey and it's a first offspring is a male, so that firstborn male donkey must be redeemed, and it's redeemed with a seh, a goat or sheep, and then the donkey is now totally released from restrictions. It can be used however, and the goat or sheep, the seg, goes to the kohen. So since that goat or sheep given to the kohen is chulin, it doesn't need to be kept b'tahara, It can be given the Chol Kohen. That's the point here in this item on the list. Number five is the Zeroa L'chayayim and Keva. So these are called the Matanos. These are the Matanos that are given to Kohanim from Chulin meat, from meat that isn't sanctified, meaning if a person just goes to the butcher and he's going to get himself a cow, so part of the cow goes to a Kohen, the Kohen who is choosing, and the parts we're talking about here are this Zeroa L'chayayim and Keva. The Zeroa is the right foreleg, L'chayayim are the cheeks and the tongue, and the Keva is the fourth of the stomachs. Ruminants, cows have four stomachs, and the fourth stomach, called the abomasum, is the Keva, and that's given to the Kohen as well. I'm sidestepping the issue of what happens Bizman Hazeh, but anyways, the Din Midoraisa is that a Jewish Leon cow should be given, those gifts should be given to the Kohen. The sixth thing is the Reishis Hagez. Reishis Hagez means the first shearings. This is a separate mitzvah in the Torah. Mitzvah Aseh, to give the first of your shearings, meaning your wool that you shear from your sheep, has to be given to a Kohen. Each and each year's harvest, that assumes you have a sufficient number of sheep. You need to have five sheep. They need to be sufficiently woolly. The wool weight needs to be 60 slum amongst all the five sheep. So in that case, you give 1/60th of the wool to the Kohen. It's called Reishis Hagez. And you can give again to any Kohen because there's no reason to keep that wool tahor. Number seven on the list is the Shemen Sreifa. Shemen Sreifa literally means oil that has to be burned. What we're referring to here is Truma olive oil. So the normal rule is that Truma has to be kept Tahor, and if it becomes Tame, it has to get burned. But in that destruction of the Truma, the Kohen is allowed to get benefit as it burns. So that would be true for any Tamei Truma. In the case of Truma oil, it's especially important because Tamei Truma oil that's burned is very useful as a fuel source, as a light source, and therefore you have to give it to a Kohen, and he will get whatever benefit he wants from it. So that Shemen Sreifa, it has to get burned. Since it's already Tamei, we have no concern about a Kohen making it further, more Tamei, and that being the case, you can give it to any Kohen, even one that's not accustomed to eating his Chulin B'Tahara. Number eight is Kadshei HaMizbeach. That means the various things that are brought on, Kadshei HaMikdash. It's badly read, and it's important that I correct that for obvious reasons and reasons that you'll see in a second. Kadshei HaMikdash are talking about the different offerings that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking basically Zvachim, animal sacrifices, as well as Menachos. So, after they're offered, many of these different offerings are eaten by the Kohanim who are working in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're saying here that the Kohanim can participate in the eating of those kachim, the animal sacrifices and the meal sacrifices, even if the Kohen is not normally accustomed to eating his chulin b'tahara, since it is sanctified temple sacrificial foodstuffs, they'll be particularly careful and we can trust them to eat this b'tahara and keep it properly, done properly in tahor, even if that's not their expertise, if you will. The ninth item on the list is Vahabikurim. Now, Bikurim are also brought to the Beis HaMikdash. We have Maseches Bikurim coming up very soon. And they are waved in front of the Mizbeach, the altar, but they're not actually offered on the altar. So they're not offerings proper, but they are quite similar to offerings. Inasmuch as they're brought to the temple in the Azara and put in front of the Mizbeach, and they're perhaps waved in front of the Mizbeach. So they're like, there's like sort of like a ritual temple activity done with them. So according to the Tanakhama here, Bikurim also, the Kohanim will take them seriously, and the Kohanim who do get to eat these Bikurim, these are the first fruits that a person has from the seven species in Eretz Yisrael, Kohanim could eat them, and even if they're not normally accustomed to eating things B'Tahara, they could get the Bikurim because we trust them to treat it properly because it carries the weight of something that was part of a temple procedure. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda oser b'Bikurim. He says the problem with Bikurim is they're not actually brought on the Mizbeach. They're not offerings proper, and they're just kind of brought next to the Mizbeach, and therefore they don't carry the same weight in the eyes of the Kohanim, and therefore you can't necessarily trust a Kohen who's not accustomed to eating B'Tahara to eat the Bikurim B'Tahara, as is required, like Truma and so. And that being the case, says Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot give Bikurim to a non, either non-chaver, or non-Kohen, or Kohen who's accustomed to eating the B'Tahara, but the halacha follows the Tanakhama that you could. And finally, Karshine Truma, Karshinim, who seem to appear in almost every Masechta, is that bitter vetch. You'll recall it's kind of like a bean that is soaked and made into a meal. You can grind it up. You can make it into sort of like a bread, like a type food. Now, normally it's used for feeding animals. It's an animal fodder. But in very difficult times, when there's nothing else to eat, people will eat it. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's really just animal food. And that being the case, we're not concerned that the Kohen will eat it. And therefore, we're allowing conventional truma, which normally can never be given to a Kohen who's not strict about keeping things tahor. You could give him the karshinim because they're not going to eat it anyways. But the Chacham disagree. The Chacham say, nope, since it is food in as much as people will eat it in a time of like famine. So it's got the same rules as other truma. And that being the case, say the Chacham, you may not give karshinim, like any other truma, to a Kohen who's not strict about keeping tumah and tahara. And again, the halacha would be like the chachamim.